So, I put a question. Obviously, as usual, I don't have an answer to you. I'll just share with you what I think and what Hyurumbok shares about it. But the question is there a deeper meaning to human life? Do you have an answer? If you're Joanne's age, you can say simply yes or no. But then if you get to Roy's age, you actually have to think about it. And you want to find what's the right answer here. Dad is asking a question. I need to impress him. What about you? What about your philosopher, your theologian? The question becomes deeper and more, you know, complex. It's a riddle in a way, because what does it mean by deeper? The definition can go from left to the right, depending on how you define it. To me, deeper means something that is more subtle than what it appears to be. Something that is kind of qualitatively attached, connected to us than the way just we normally assume. Is there something like that? And meaning, that's a hard word. How do you define meaning? Now, here comes then, if you're a scientist, you have a scientific interpretation of meaning. You're a philosopher, you'll have your philosophical interpretation of it. You're a theologian, you'll have a totally different one. And then there is human life. What is human? What is life? So each one could be a title for a book. So obviously, I'm not trying to answer the big answer, you know, to you. Why is this somehow then presented here? One of my spiritual background is Buddhism, kind of Zen Buddhism. And Zen masters like to give you those riddles. So one of the ones that I like is Buddha is like fire god seeking fire. Does that make sense to you? Buddha is fire god seeking fire. How is it even possible? You're a god of fire. You are fire. Why do you need to seek out fire? But if you reflect upon it, 20 years, 30 years, you may get into the enlightenment that you are Buddha. A statement is easy and simple, saying, you're Buddha. You say, yeah, I'm Buddha. But what does that mean, right? What does it mean? What does that mean? That means not just you act like Buddha, not talk like the Buddha. You have to have inner reality that matches the likelihood of Buddha. So unless you cultivate that, the sentence saying, I'm the Buddha, has actually no meaning to you. And another riddle that I liked when I was 20s is that the shadow of the bamboo tree sweeps the floor, but dust don't move. Of course not, right? The shadow sweeps the floor. Do you think shadow can clean the dust? No. If you want to sweep the dust, you actually have to make a broom or bring one. That's in another way of saying inner cultivation has to be real. Just simply talking about it, reading about it, listening to it will not make any difference because these are all shadows. These are the reflection of what is real. But it's not really a real thing. I believe Plato reflected upon it very well in his cave idols. Somehow, that's amazement is that Plato was probably living in the western side about roughly, 400-ish BC. Same concept was developed in the eastern side roughly about 500 to 600 BC. Is that just coincidence? Is there interconnectedness in human spirits? That's where it comes now. How are you going to see what human being is? And it's a delicate and very hard thing in a way. There is what appears to be true, which is very compelling and powerful. You have the body, you're born, you'll die. And there are things that you need to do to maintain your life right here, to make you happy, fulfilled, satisfied, all that. Is there more? Is there more? And that's the question I'm asking. And if you just want to go into mechanistic view of the humanity as you are just a biochemical machine or organism that evolved, product of evolution, then that's it. But still, believe it or not, if you take out all God side, all faith side, you still matter. That's an amazing thing, actually. What you do, what you think, matters. Because we are all interdependent beings. Humans especially, but all creature, right? Any creature on earth, any living organism that is not interdependent with another. I mean, name one. There's none. So, especially but to human to human, what you think, what you say, what you act matters. You matter, actually. But if you go into spiritual side and take faith in God in, then you become whole a lot more important. You're not just now a single entity that would live and go. So that's where I'd like to share about what Swedenborg kind of emphasizes is that two things we need to think about. I mean, there are many, yes. And I can have it as a 3-hour lecture on it. But two things. One is to know what you are. What are you? But not about, again, like a statement, I'm Buddha. It has no meaning unless you become that. So same thing as this. Knowing what I am. You can say, I'm love. What does that mean? Right? I'm good. What does that mean? I'm Christian. Well, what does that mean? It applies in all the same way. We identify I with something else, with or without actually having the quality that matches to it. But if we don't have the quality that matches to what we claim, our claim is just kind of empty echo or just shadow that sweeps over the dust. So when you say, I am, you need to know what that really means. But then here, knowing now doesn't mean knowing as we read a book and you understand the sentence. Right? Here, knowing means really, really knowing. So if you are to say, I am a Christian, knowing what that means is that you're actually living a life that qualifies you to be a Christian. Well, what's the standard? You can use the Bible, Gospels, but you can also use the common sense. One thing I heard many times is that if all Americans in America actually live the way, the life they claim to be, this is the best country ever. This is. Sadness is, that's not the truth. That's not the reality. And don't blame other people. that has been somewhat human nature and tendency too. The inner cultivation is neither automatic or something that is free or freely granted. Somebody has to engage you, or you have to have the motivation to go. Otherwise, you will live the way everything that pleases you. That's your somewhat naturally programmed. So, what are you? According to Swedenborg, you are uniquely designed to be a good reflection of God. Pretty cool, actually. You can reflect what God is. God comes to you, and you can reflect the godness, likeness of God outside. You are part of creating, maintaining power of the universe. Pretty cool. But just like a mirror, if you're not polished the clean mirror, your reflection doesn't really give much. The polishing side is up to you. In a way, mirror image, right? Mirrors, you are in a way mirror. Two things it shows. Whatever you contain within it, you don't own it. We don't own it. That's what Swedenborg is trying to emphasize. Even if we contain something that's so super good, we don't own it. We're simply a container. The real image is out there. We're just reflecting it. Emphasis on humility. But at the same time, the cleanness of this image is up to us. So nobody's born as a clear, clean mirror. That's the good news, and that's the bad news. So what Swedenborg emphasized next is what you can become. Okay, that's your potential. That's what you are. What you can become. And that's where education, helping each other, kind of poking your loved ones, it matters. Because again, spiritual cultivation and discipline don't happen automatically. Somehow this is not an automatic survival mechanism that is built in human mind or brain. It has to be intentionally, voluntarily chosen to do so. So, what can you become? As I was sharing, if you read the history, you'll be amazed. Human beings can make almost anything, everything, if they can think about it. Look around what we have today. Airplanes, spaceships, satellites, submarines that go into the ocean like months. The ship that is size of a city that has 60,000 people on it, I'm not sure. If you now bring all those concepts, 200 years, if you can take a time machine, go back to 300 years and tell the people that these things are possible and we can build it, you will become an automatic joke to whole people there. They will not believe you. Why is that? For them, it's unthinkable yet. But somehow, we build upon like one after another. Like ancient to now. There has been somewhat, you know, that ancient Greek mythology, Icarus, right? The guy who wants to fly. Well, he made a wing, but with what? Wax. Somehow he made it. He flew. And the story says he liked to get closer to the sun. So he flew towards the sun. What happens? It melts. But the desire, the vision that we can fly. Now we go out of the space. We go out of the ocean. And We study ourselves, our body, go inside. There are many amazing things. That's the power of human mind. So what you can become? From Sirimuk Kairos, it's very classic. He goes with the Bible, saying, God created humans in the likeness and image of God. And then, if you come to the Gospels, Jesus emphasized probably one thing only, power of love. But in a proper way of saying, power of selfless love. Power of love that is giving and accepting and understanding. And that is somehow very important to humans. So if you combine that together, that's where this image comes in that Swedenborg emphasized. God is love itself. And human beings are also love itself in reflection. So what can you become in an ultimate way? You can become the most loving being ever. And that would probably satisfy you the most. But in between, this ability God endowed humans. And if you compare with animals, one thing that I have to pick up is power of human imagination. You can think about it. Either you can make it, or your descendants can make it. I'm pretty sure that sometime later we'll build spaceships and go other spaces too. Right? That's what you are. So is there a deeper meaning to human life? You probably want to say yes, but you're hesitant. That's a good thing. Because you want to say yes, then you need to know what that means to say yes. That means you need to know either you're cultivating inner side of yourself. The last thing I'd like to share with you is what Swedenborg emphasized is the voluntary freedom that we have. We have innate desire to be free. But also what that means is that if we choose, we make a choice without our voluntary mechanism or without our voluntary choice, we don't like it. Or it doesn't mean much. Or it's not that important. Like a child may follow parents' discipline to a certain degree, and then 16 or 18 and saying, Dad, I'm done with you. I don't like what you're saying. I'm out. How do you prevent that? Well, child can talk, right? So we have conversations. But it's hard, isn't it? You need to choose it. And that's what's the most important thing about. If we're talking about any meaning to our life, it has to be your own choice based on your own acknowledgement of the meaning. And you have to work for it. So, is there a deeper meaning to human life? I'm pretty sure yes is the answer. But again, please, when you are saying yes to that, have meaning attached to it. And may God bless you all in your journey of seeking, finding, acknowledging, and accepting your true identity as you find it. Amen.